Good morning, everybody in London and Johannesburg, and anyone watching on TV or wherever else this thing is broadcast. Thank you for coming to our traditional pre-close briefing. I'm going to get into the story straight away. I think we're all familiar with the environment we've been operating in. The last 6 months have been fairly choppy from a macro perspective, both starting out in South Africa and more recently in the rest of the world. So we have faced an environment where you've had currency and equity market weakness and volatility. Clearly, current equity markets have started recovering, but they have been very volatile. And that clearly would impact our overall results, particularly in our wealth and investment business and our asset management business, which are exposed to the levels of asset prices. We have seen decent net new fund inflows and reasonable levels of activity in our banking businesses, which have supported a sound operational performance. I think if we look at overview of the year, our specialist banking businesses expect to report results ahead of the prior year. Very strong results in our UK specialist bank, which is substantially ahead of the prior year. The South African specialist bank will be comfortably ahead in rand, but obviously we're dealing with a very weak currency, so it will probably be behind in pounds. And our wealth and investment business is expected to be marginally ahead of the prior year, whilst asset management is expected to be below the prior year. Both divisions have continued to, as I said earlier, to experience strong net inflows, £1.2 billion in the wealth business and £3.2 billion in the asset management business. So, as I said, results will have been affected by the depreciation of the rand, which was 17% over the period. As a consequence, our adjusted operating profit will be marginally ahead of the prior year in sterling, a strong increase in neutral currency and a very strong increase in rand. Revenue, slightly lower in sterling, ahead in neutral currency. Recurring income, we have a strong base of recurring income, approximately 71% of operating income, and expenses in pounds lower in a neutral currency, slightly higher. So as up to the end of Feb, and these would have changed because if markets continue their rally, our third-party assets under management decreased by 6%, flat in neutral currency, as a consequence of the net inflow, so we did give some money back to weaker markets. Our customer accounts deposits increased by 2% in sterling, 14% in neutral currency, and loans and advances increased by 4% in sterling, 17% in neutral currency. So we've had very strong underlying growth in loans and advances. That's probably going to slacken off now with the weakness of the South African economy. But there was a lot of momentum up until December the 9th. If we look at liquidity, we are very liquid, and we continue to see strong growth in our fundraising activities. We obviously seeing very good growth in investor cash investments in South Africa. We have been trying to manage our cost of funds down, and that has remained broadly stable. You can see that our loan deposit ratio has moved from 74% to 76% as loans grew slightly faster than depositors. Our core equity ratio is expected to be below our 2016 target as a consequence of strong growth in our credit risk-weighted assets. Our leverage ratios are still very strong, somewhere in the 7% to 8% area. And then liquidity, as I said, very strong. We probably got about 10 to about 11 billion pounds of funds at the end of end of Feb. On impairments, we continue to see a downward trend in impairments as we make more progress on our legacy book. So we've seen decline in our legacy impairments, and overall impairments are expected to be down about 20%. In rand, our South African impairments are up on the previous year, as we face weaker economic conditions. Overall, we expect the impairment ratio to be between 0.57 and 0.62. March last year, it was 0.68. And obviously, we are a long way off from the post-crisis heights and the European crisis. If you look at our loan book, we've given you some color in the slide on what has happened to the loan book. As I mentioned, we have seen pretty strong growth, both mortgages to our private clients and lending to our net with individuals in the South African silo and in the Investec PLC. We've seen good growth in our corporate lending activities. In the U.K., we have a specialty in what we call fund finance, where we're dealing with private equity and funds and asset managers, normally against draws from very strong institutional commitments. And we also had quite good growth in our project finance and our small ticket asset finance business. In South Africa, it's primarily mortgages to our private clients, which are professionals. We don't do many jumbo mortgages, so we think that would be very well diversified. And obviously, banking our very high net worth clients and middle to large corporates. If we look at our various operating units, as I mentioned, asset manager had net inflows of £3.2 billion. Earnings were impacted by market and currency movements. I think we saw growth in earnings in our UK and international business, which will be ahead of the prior year, notwithstanding the fact that it does have an emerging market component in that channel. And then South Africa, we've seen quite a nice improvement in the second half as performance, which was an issue in one or two of our funds in previous years, has turned around quite significantly. So again, you know, a weaker performance, mainly because of levels of asset prices and average funds under management, but still, you know, performing quite well in terms of gathering assets and the management of its money. On wealth, you know, inflows of £1.2 billion, again, affected by weaker equity markets. Our overall funds under management would be affected by the rand and weaker equity markets, down 6% at £43 billion. Neutral currency flat. Performance marginally ahead of the prior year. And we still have a lot of money that we are spending on investment initiatives, in particular our digital offering, which we expect to launch around September this year. A little bit delayed from where we originally thought, but these things have to be right. So we also have been making investment in select investment professionals. We do write off whatever we have to pay to bring these people across up front. So we don't amortize it over their contracts. And that has been our accounting policy for years. So very strong performance from South African business in rands, but obviously it doesn't translate into a lot of growth in sterling. We look at the specialist bank, net interest margin up off the back of both in South Africa and the UK off the back of the strong book growth in neutral currency. I think fees and commissions, we've seen good performance from our South African corporate treasury and structuring businesses. Our property fund has grown, and Blue Strata, which we now rebranded Investec Import Solutions, it also generates significant fees. In the UK, in our corporate finance activities, we saw much lower deal activity as markets were a lot choppier than in the prior year, where we had a very strong performance. So we expect fees and commissions in the UK to be slightly down. With regard to investment and trading income, it's ahead of last year. Last year, we had to write down an investment in Hong Kong. This year, that activity has been normalized. We've seen decent earnings from our fixed income activities in the UK, and we did have a very sound first half performance in our private equity activities in South Africa. We have no recognized no income in the second half from private equity as we created Investec Equity Partners, and from now here on out we will equity account that from the 1st of April. We didn't accrue any revenue from that source for the second half of this year. So that would have had some negative impact that there was no accrual in the second half of the year. And then costs, South Africa has seen quite a strong increase in fixed costs. We have had headcount increase. We did buy Investec Import Solutions, and we're spending a fair amount of money on digital and IT. In the UK, we've seen a marginal increase in costs, basically as a consequence of investment in our private banking business. Which we need to invest in, and we have been investing in. On the legacy, we said last year it'd be down to 600. We've managed to get it down to about 574. Impairments will be slightly higher. not higher than last year, much lower than last year, but slightly higher than we originally anticipated as we have accelerated the clearance of our Irish planning portfolio, and that will have been done by the end of March. So we expect slightly higher impairments there, which would have had some impact on the statutory results. But I think good progress nonetheless. If we look at our effective tax rate, expect to be not between 19 and 20. Non-controlling interest, which include Investec Asset Management's minority stake, Forex hedge accounting, that disappears. This is the last year we'll have that because we bought back or settled the euro-denominated prefs in June, but we still had some impact in this period, and the consolidation of our property fund, so we have to take the minorities out. And then we expect weighted number of shares in issue to be about 870 million. So overall, I think we're quite positive about our current positioning and where we are as an organization. We believe we're winning market share, and I think that's evidenced by our growth in our key earnings drivers. Our franchise, we believe, is very solid, and we continue to make good progress in the rollout of our digital strategy, and that's helping us position both our private bank and our wealth management businesses very, in a very decent position where clients can deal with us face-to-face, telephonically, or digitally, both through handsets, iPads, or online. We believe our business model has nice diversity and balance, and it does generate quite a high level of recurring income every year, which enable us to navigate quite difficult and choppy market conditions. As we always said to you, we're not a big trading bank. We don't generate a lot of income from trading. Most of our income comes off the back of customer flows. So we will, as an organization, continue to focus on executing our strategic initiatives, but at the same time, we need to maintain momentum in our core activities and our core business units. And we recognize we're in a very challenging macro environment. We are comfortable and used to dealing in a challenging macro environment. Sometimes it creates a lot of opportunities for us. Obviously, we have to watch the bumps in the road. So there is a lot of uncertainty out there. There is a lot of volatility. But we believe that as an organization, our culture and our value system, we're well placed to navigate uncertainty and volatility. So that's our brief story about how we expect to be for the period 31 March. We still got 2 weeks to go, and the world is very volatile, so these are based on facts as we see them right now. Any questions? We'll go to Joburg first.
Hi, Stephen. Just a question. What do you think the impact of a sovereign downgrade would have?
Who's that?
It's Giuseppe from Kaizen.
Okay.
Just the impact that a sovereign downgrade would have on the group's cost of funding, and then your take on what you feel is already priced into the currency and the bond market as we speak. Thanks.
So, you've already seen South Africa repriced. It depends on which downgrade you get. If you get a Moody's, that's just you stay BBB-, if they one notch. If you go below investment grade, obviously I think you'll see if more than one firm go below investment grade, you're going to see quite a significant uptick in pricing because the pool of money available to South Africa will narrow. So I think that is a big issue for South Africa. In the rand market, I think you've seen some uptick in pricing on the term stuff from institutions. But obviously, you've also got the positive endowment effect of a rising interest rate environment. So it sort of like balances out. But obviously, if you have a double, two rating agencies downgrade us in South Africa, you're going to have the supply of dollars is going to have some impact. In the rand market, probably you've already seen the impact. I don't remember your other question. You mustn't ask 5 questions in one sentence. You finished, Giuseppe?
Can I come in now, please, Mr. Kossoff? Hi, Mr. Kossoff. It's Ruby Rosenberg here. Good morning to you.
Okay.
Mr. Kossoff, I'm looking at two pages in the report. The first is total group customer deposits. and I'm comparing the differential with total group core loans in the UK and other. Now, I note that compared to 31 March, the increase in customer deposits is 1.7%, whereas the increase in core loans is 12.7%, which suggests that you're finding creditworthy companies and individuals to lend money to. However, there is still currently, at 29 February, a massive differential of, let's call it lazy money, sitting in customer deposits. It equates to 2.516 million. Is it your intention to find interest-bearing homes for that and make use of the money that's sitting in the balance sheet?
Well, I think you've seen us adopt a strategy in the UK of we had a lot of liquidity because we sold Kensington. Our strategy has been to actually diversify that deposit base and try and get the cost of money down. That has worked reasonably well over the last few years. So in the UK, I think our cost of money is down by about 19 basis points because we have had focused on, you know, bringing down the cost of money. I think generally in the developed world, there is a lot of surplus liquidity still floating around. I think I read the other day, it's the first time in 20-something years that banks' loans are lower than their deposits. So that is reflective of conditions in the market. Obviously, you know, we want to grow our loan portfolios to the right clients, but we also have to manage our capital structures and those kind of things. So there's a level at which we can grow, but we can't go and use all that surplus money. We need to keep it in our pockets for rainy days. So we do operate as a firm with a high liquidity reserves. You can see in the UK our LCR ratio, which is your short-term liquidity ratio, is about 600%, and our long-term one in NSFR, which I'm not sure we publish, is about 120%. So we have comfortable liquidity, but that's how we run our business, as you know. We also have to manage our leverage ratio. So we manage all these things at the same time, multiple things you manage, Ruby.
Good morning. My name is Tisa, so I'm a reporter with Reuters. Just have a quick question on the political showdown we've seen in the past 48 hours. How worrying is that for Investec? What's your view on it? Thanks.
I don't think I'm going to comment on the politics. I'm not a politician. We're businessmen. What we need is stability and certainty as a society, and that's what's important for us. So we need clarity. We need stability. We need a decent policy framework, and we need the economy to grow, and you're not going to get the economy to grow with uncertainty. So the politicians must sort out their own problems. We as the business people and banks need certainty, and we want to operate in a certain clear environment. So we pass the ball back to the politicians to sort their stuff out. They have an obligation to the people to sort their stuff out. We need certainty and clarity.
Hold on, Stephen.
No one else.
Thank you. Hi, Stephen. My name is Frances from Deloitte, and I have a question on IFRS 9 and your assessment thereof. So where are you in the process, and what do you envision given your impairments approximately being 20% lower than prior, but with the new changes where we need to provide for off-balance sheet items, such as your process and progress made of analysis?
Well, we have project teams that are building models to implement IFRS 9. We don't think it will be dramatic on us, but obviously it will have some effect. But we're also moving to the advanced method for calculating capital, and we think that the net difference, and this is on the South African side, with IFRS 9 and the benefit we get from advance will improve our core tier 1 ratio by about 1.2-1.3%. But, you know, that is a guesstimate, and that is the process that we're on. So obviously we're preparing that. We've got two big projects, one in the UK, one in South Africa, dealing with IFRS 9. And that comes in for us in 2018. Nishlan, is that right? 2018. Is Nishlan not there?
No.
He's on holiday. Okay, sorry. Huh? Glenn says yes. More questions?
No, that's it from Joburg.
Most questions we ever had at an interim trading update. Any from London? Aaron? Are you saying hello, or are you going to ask a question?
Huh? Morning, Stephen.
Morning.
Sorry for being late. I wondered, you know, did you talk about the credit risk RWAs rising? Is there a reason for that in your numbers? Is that just growth? Are you looking at different kind of growth? Or?
No, I just think, you know, we mentioned it before you came in, that we are penetrating our market, and we are making progress in building market share. So obviously, you know, one has to watch that you're not taking on stuff that has poor credit quality. We're reasonably comfortable with our credit quality on our ongoing book. And, you know, we haven't lowered our standards, if that's what you're asking.
And I had a question on assets and wealth. It's very heartening to see that you're still getting inflows in the current market. What is driving that? What kind of funds are you pulling in? And whether it's retail, institutional, or any themes that you're getting money into would be interesting to note.
Okay, I'll tell Ursula to take it offline with you. But I think on the wealth side, obviously, we've been taking some very good people that have been let go by other organizations, or they're changing strategy. So we're taking advantage of that. We obviously are quite nicely positioned both in South Africa and here. On the wealth business, on asset management business, it's primarily a mixture of retail and institutional flows. We've seen a turnaround in the business in South Africa, but we're still attracting global institutional flows into that business.
And the last one's on cost. Costs are still slightly ticking up.
Yeah.
How do you...
like Bernard.
Is that just Bernard?
He's not here today. He's not on holiday.
Is there any outlook for how the cost might progress? I mean, what are you looking at? Are you growing revenues faster than costs? Is that what we should be thinking of?
We've got a lot of strategic initiatives. So as you're aware, we are building the private banking capability. There's a lot of spend on infrastructure. We've got the digital initiative in the wealth business and in the banking businesses. So there's a lot of spend in that particular space. And then, you know, there are a lot of regulatory projects, like the lady asked us about IFRS 9. It doesn't cost nothing to build all the models and to build all the capability of doing that. And then there are all sorts of other projects that come our way. So we're still in that phase where the regulators are throwing a lot at you, and you have to actually do something about it. You can't just ignore it. And you have to build systems. You have to build capability. And then we also have been hiring frontline people in various of our businesses as we, you know, build out. So in the UK, for example, we're building out the private bank. We're going to have a lot more private bankers to serve the client base that we want to serve. And there are all those kinds of things happening. So it's not wasteful expenditure, but we have to spend.
Thank you.
And we hope the revenue comes. More questions? Okay. Well, anyone want to ask anything else, they can ask offline. In Joburg, you can ask Ursula. Seeing that Nishlan also is on holiday, you can ask anyone anything. Have a good day. Thank you. Enjoy your Easter.